Hey, welcome to The Remnant. My name's Todd. I'm the pastor here. So, we're in the middle of a series called The Promises. I think most of you have been here for them, but just in case, I've got to do this spiel. So, The Promises, essentially, it's just a series where we're looking at what God has actually promised us in the Bible, right? Did you know that He makes promises? It's a trick question, right? Because whatever God says He's going to do, God, it is a promise, because He's going to do it. Okay, so we're studying that, and in that, we're also learning what God doesn't promise. And that's important too, because that can be twisted, as we talked about, right? People can say, oh, God will do this if you do this, et cetera, et cetera. So we're just kind of learning, what does God really say to us? Now, it's filled with it, and we would do this series for a year, probably, to cover every promise God has made. But instead, we're going to try to focus on some and get through it, and that's where we're at. So today, we're going to... Well, you already know the title. It's anticlimactic. It's life. Isn't that a pretty picture? Yeah, I did that. I'm just kidding. Tim did. Dang it. Before we get started, I'm going to need a volunteer. It's one of my great... people love them. But, no, well, let me finish. Because it's mainly as usual. Listen, who likes Dr. Pepper? Jen, you got to like Dr. Pepper to be this volunteer. Okay. Oh, man. All right. So those of you, this is just for the Dr. Pepper people. If you are willing to stand in front of this crowd right now, and you like Dr. Pepper, raise your hand, because I don't want to pull you up. Who wants to volunteer? If you don't, I will pull you up. Okay, we've got three. I'll take that. Oh, Brandon's over there on the fourth. Who hasn't been picked for a while? Okay, Suze, come on. But see, Suze is clever. Give her a hand. She'll try to trick me and get ahead of me. Don't get ahead of me, Suze, okay? Now, Suze, you're going to have to drink some Dr. Pepper, so I hope you're ready for that. Everybody knows Suze, right? That was a weak clap. Give her a better hand than that. Thank you. All right. Thank you, my lovely assistant, Jessica. So, Suze, this is really simple. You don't have to overthink it, okay? I'm going to give you two options. We've known each other for a while, right?
Long time.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm fairly trustworthy.
No, you're not.
Okay, well, that's fair. That's even better. That's even better. So here's what we'll do. This isn't old. This is fresh Dr. Pepper, right? Probably enough for a tiny baby swig or a full swig from some of you baby mouth people. Anyway, here's what you can do. I will give you this right now, okay? Wet your whistle a little bit, or I will, in this other room, this is where I trust, in the other room over here, behind where this table is, you know, in the game room, okay. There is a full glass. But if you get the full glass, you're going to have to walk and get it, and we're going to wait for you. So there's an awkward pressure. People are watching you. So you can take this now, no judgment, this little swig, or you can take me on a word that in there is a full heaping glass of Dr. Pepper. All right? It's good, too. This is not a trick. So which would you like to do?
I don't know.
Okay, it's your choice. Like, you got to pick, all right? You can pick this or a full glass. Now, listen, I'm already thinking like Sue. She's like, well, really? I just want a little bit right now. No. All right, I want you to think on a normal day. I should have said who's thirsty, okay? Do you want this?
Let's go get the other one.
All right, we'll go get it. I told you this would be, because I have a point. Yep, right in here in the game room. See, if I was a really good pastor and planned like way ahead, yeah, I'd had that Jeopardy music playing. So just pretend. Yeah, that's good. No problem, Suze. No one's waiting for you. Just the whole church. Take your time. Take your time. Take your time. Raise it up. Come up here and show them. Hey, give her another hand, right? That was awkward. All right, so, hey, do me a favor. Taste it so they don't think I tricked you. Like that, it's fresh. Is it fresh?
Believe it or not, I didn't trust him, so I smelled it on the way.
Actually, that is fair because I've done that to people.
Like Dr. Pepper,
yeah.
It
yeah.
Fizz,
oh yeah. Yeah, I messed with her daughter one time and put like vinegar in something. So that's a good point. But it is fresh, right?
It's fresh.
All right, great. Give her a hand. You can go back down there. Who wants this swig? Hey, here you go. Somebody. I was looking at Trent, but fine, dude. Take it. All right. Hey. Okay. Great. Thank you. Listen, I'll get to the, just stick with me. That was a little awkward for you. Yeah. Sure. I could tell. That's why she was thinking. Who likes cake, that cake we had? Raise your hand. Nice. Mandy, Jessica ran away. Would you hand me that? Oh, I don't have cords. Never mind. All right, I'm used to. Okay, raise your hand if you like cake. Cake. And raise your hand if you like cake. I'm going to give you, and you're willing to come up here. And let me, Jason's hand went down immediately. Henry? Okay, come on. I haven't messed with Henry before. Give him a hand. This is great. Okay. Hey, guy and girl, that's perfect. See what I did? All genders are equal. Anyway, here we go. This cake. Now, I mean, you really want some cake right now?
Sure.
Okay, yeah. Good. So smell it, look at it, make sure it's good cake, right? Yep. Brand new. It's actually the one James brought today. I don't know what kind it is. What is this, coffee cake? Soda cake? Anyway, so we got sour cream cake. Here's the deal. I will give this to you now. Take it back to your seat, eat it with your lovely fiance, give her some, whatever you want to do. Or back there in the back, in the place where I dropped my keys that one time and couldn't get them out, right? Yeah, where everybody tells me not to put stuff, is a full, like half a cake, okay? On a normal day, and you can take it home, so you don't have to eat it all now. Yeah, you don't have to eat the whole cake, no. So you can have this cake, or you can, trust me, there's cake back there. We'll go get it, because it's awkward. Hurry up, man. All right? Take your time. Yeah, Sue's did. Of course, we know now she was testing it, smelling it, licking it, yeah, making sure there's nothing in it. That's fair, because I really did put vinegar in her daughter's Kool-Aid one time, so that's fair. But it made a point. All right, come on up, Henry, in your beautiful blue shirt. Man, you I noticed you've been looking a lot more stylish since you got engaged. Is that a coincidence? Or anyway, okay, full cake, right? Looks good. I haven't messed with it, right?
Half cake.
All right, half a cake, right? Good. You can have a seat. Thank you. Right. It's your cake. All right, who wants this piece of cake? All right, Jane, come and get it. I know her name. She calls me Billy Bob. Here you go. Enjoy. All right, listen. Here's my point. The point of this example is simple. It's kind of silly, and some of you probably think you have it, and you may have it. How often in our lives, you ready? Because I switched from silly to serious, Todd. Stay with me. How many times in our lives is our view of what life is dictated by present circumstances? Ooh, Todd, that was a big wordy sentence. All right, let me break it down for you. How many times in our lives and in your life is the quality of your life, from your viewpoint, dictated entirely by the circumstances of the moment? We tend to view the quality of our life based on what's happening right now. You can have the best week in the world, but you have that one bad day, and what do we normally do? I do it, and don't fib. It's been the worst week ever, right? And you start remembering all the things that happened that you hadn't really noticed before, that made this week bad. We take shortcuts. Listen, we are very human beings. Naturally, are very, very, short-term minded. That's good, right? Yeah. We are short-term minded. I don't want to offend you, but it's going to, and I'm talking to myself. We're kind of like monkeys sometimes, okay? Right? Yeah, because we want what we want now, and we just react. And life is dictated entirely, the quality of your life, whether this is worth it as a Christian, any of it, by what's going on in your life right now. We take shortcuts, like, for instance, taking a piece of cake, taking a small bit of Dr. Pepper on a thirsty day when you know if you're just willing to walk into this other room, you're right, you can't see it, but someone you've trusted has said, in the other room is a full glass of Dr. Pepper. Which would you rather have? And many of you in this room, though it seems silly and you wouldn't do it here, will certainly take that tiny swig rather than do the work or trust to walk into the other room. You know, the same with the cake, right? And I did it in two different ways. One, she couldn't see that. She had to trust me. Sue somewhat trusts me, right? Except for the vinegar thing. But she didn't see that, right? So she walked there. And Henry, he may have been able to see it if he was standing here, but he still had to make the effort to walk back and take it. He had to do something. He could take what I give him easy, or he can do the work to get, not a full cake as he pointed out, but a half a cake. Do you know what a lot of sociologists, psychologists say one of the main components of maturity is? This is non-Christian, just a mature human being, is your ability to delay satisfaction. That's the truth. A mature person, to them, is dictated by a person's ability to delay satisfaction, right? Those of you with kids, when your kid wants a banana or a cookie, they want it now. They don't care about being delayed. They scream, they cry, give me what I want now, even though you might be saying, if you just wait till we get home, I'll give you a box of cookies. Just don't throw a fit in the store. And I don't care, I want my cookie now. That's what we do. You do it. Me? Yes, you. Delayed gratification. Now stay with me, I'll connect them. And I'll connect this for you now. So delayed gratification, because we may not be getting what we want now, we start to doubt this whole thing. We start to doubt Christianity, those of you who have been Christian. We start to doubt whether God is good. We start to doubt whether this is worth it, fun. Is this life? Is this all it is? I might get fired up in this one. I just felt it. Because all of us in this room need to hear this. Today we're going to look at another of God's promises. The promise of life. And I have it on my notes in all caps. Life. And I mean that. What do you mean, Todd? I mean in every possible way. God's promise is to give you life. Not the life that we settle for. Not the life of a little bit of Dr. Pepper. Not the life of a piece of cake, a little piece of cake. Not the life that the world tells us settle for. I'm talking about the life that you were created for. If you have your Bibles, which I hope that you do, or take a note, we're going to look in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, and we're going to be looking at verses 7 through 10. So, John chapter 10, verses 7 through 10. And when you got it, say, I got it. Now, in order for me to, you know, I love to give context. I think it's important. And so you know I'm not just ripping this out. There is some context here. I've talked, actually it was not within the last 4 or 5 months, we talked about when Jesus healed the blind man. I don't know if you were here for this. He healed a blind man and no one believed him. And remember the Pharisees came up to him and they said, and Jesus was like, listen, you know, he was blind, he can see. I've come to set the captives free, set blind. And then they said, well, we're not blind, are we? Those fancy people, right? The religious leaders. And Jesus said to them, no, if you were blind, I could heal you and help you. But because you say you see, I can't help you. Because you say you have it all together. So then he goes on and he starts telling this parable about sheep and a shepherd and a gatekeeper. It gets kind of complicated in the wording. But then this is, so that's kind of where we pick up. And Jesus, so verse 7, it'll be on the screen. And mine's NIV, the verse we're reading from today. Therefore Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life, and I love this wording, and have it to the full. He could have stopped there after life, didn't he? Have it to the full. Now, I'll explain it, and then I'll tie it in for a second. Now, the gist of it is, he gives an example of saying, listen, there's a gate where the sheep, where God's people are. Okay, and if they want to come in, and before that, he goes, they only listen to their true shepherd. Only their true shepherd can take care of them. God, later on, he says, listen, there's a gate that they can come in and be with the shepherd. I am the gate. But listen, there are thieves and robbers who will come, and they try to steal, and they try to lead the flock away, and they try to say they have to do certain things to come in the door, like, oh, you can't go in the door until you do this, this, and this. And he says to them, before this, he says, they won't listen because they're not the true shepherds. And then he goes to explain here, listen, I'm the gate for all the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers. They come in and go out and find pasture. All who comes through me will be saved. The thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. And I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. Okay, you understand the parable, for lack of a better word? Good enough? We'll come back to this in a second. Keep in mind that last sentence, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. If you have your Bibles, we're going to jump to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm getting loud for no apparent reason, just see if you're paying attention. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. When you got it, say, I got it. Ooh, you guys are on today. This is giving me energy. This is good. Here we go. The only thing to be better if we got an amen, right? Now, this is Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. This is one of those verses that if you read, it kind of comes at the end, and it's sort of like he's doing his goodbyes, and you sort of skip over it, but it's very, very powerful what he's actually saying here. Listen, he says, now to him, who's the him? Take a guess. Yeah, Jesus, God, right? Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than what? All that we ask. God, think about this. It's saying, listen, now to God, I just want you to know, God will and wants to give you more, not than you're expecting. He wants to give you more than you're asking. You can't even fathom the plans He actually has for you. Because even if you ask, it's not everything He wants to give you. Now, I'm not talking about money, right? Though He will take care of you. I think these are powerful verses. So both of these promise something, right? We said if God does it, He does it. If He says it, He does it. Jesus says, I've come to give you life and give it to the full. Listen, God offers us and you. Stay with me. I know. Had a good meal. Spaghetti, carbs, sleepy. God offers us real life. Now, when I say life, the first thing most Christians think, and this is true, and this is very important, is eternal life. You are saved from what? We talked about it. From the consequences of your sin. From the consequences of sin, you are saved. Punishment's done, it's over. So you are saved. You are promised, you ready? You are promised paradise. That's a fact. If you're a Christian in this room, it doesn't matter how tough life is. It doesn't matter whether, you know, you wake up and you're hurting. It doesn't matter what the world tells you. It doesn't even matter what you believe all the time. You are promised. Put it down. Fact. You are promised paradise. You are promised eternal life. You are promised, you ready? You will never die. Do you understand that? What, Todd? Yeah, you'll never die. You'll transition. But you'll never die. That's incredible. But here's the thing. As Christians, a lot of times we stop there. And what we think is we often act that a life, that living a life for Christ isn't fun. It's not really better than anyone else's life. In fact, if you're really honest, they get to have the fun. Those that aren't Christians, their life is better. But you can suck it up because in the end, it's going to pay off in the long run. Yeah, at least they don't have to go to hell. And that's true. And that should be enough to celebrate. But listen to me. That's not the entirety of the promise. That's not. See, God, the entire Bible is what? God created us. He created us in the beginning in Genesis. And He said, listen, I've made all of this for you. You will be my image bearers. The word implies, I love it, image bearer. It's like His handprints on you. You are walking statues of my glory. Did you know that? You are walking statues of God's glory. He made all this for us. And He said, go and rule it in my name. Have fun. Fill it up. This is yours. So do you think when we messed it up and He comes back to restore it that the only hope we have is, hey, by the way, things are going to really suck, and when you die, I'll at least save you. So just be really depressed and mopey all the time. But don't worry, I'm coming someday. No. Restoration means He's going to restore the way it was supposed to be. You get to live life now as image bearers of the Most High King. You get to be what you were supposed and made to be. We think we live our lives as though being a Christian. Listen, because this is you, the person who's not paying attention, I'm talking to you. You live your life like it's dull, boring, unfulfilling, and that's just part of it to be a Christian, and you just got to be okay with it. That's what God is asking you to do. You believe that. You believe God wants you to be miserable and just wait to die. And so because of that, you sit around and you go and look for some fun other places because you don't believe that He actually has life for you now. The truth is far more beautiful than this. A life, listen, this is deep. I know some of you don't like deep, right? You're thinking about donuts. Donut. Does that make you pay attention? Here we go. Ready? I'm so sarcastic. Anyway, the truth is far more beautiful. You ready? A life following God is what's real. Did you know that? Stay with me. I told you it's about to get deep for a second. What if God is actually trying to lead you to the only thing that's actually real? Everything else is like the Matrix. You're just sitting around pursuing things. You ever seen the movie? If not, that's not going to make any sense for you. Well, it's a fake world, okay? Everything here is just these things that appeal to your earthly senses of, oh, yeah, you know, I get to do this or I get to do that, and yeah, that gives me life. We all know it doesn't. At the end of the day, you're still miserable. That God's way isn't like, hey, I know the world's great and fun. I don't want you to have fun. I want you to follow me instead. What He's really saying is, hey, you can take that Dr. Pepper and it'll be good for a minute, or you can follow me and over here I get a full bottle. Life. God offers you life. True life. Joy, happiness. Listen, I got a question for you. Remember I said this in the prayer earlier. There's a lot of people in the room, but I'm talking to you individually. Not your girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife, fiance, your brother, sister. I'm talking to you. Listen, ask yourself this. How do you view the Christian life? How do you view it? How do you really view it? Not the answer you would give Todd if he asked you, or your grandma or grandpa, whoever else you care about what they think. How do you view it? What words come to mind? Do words like fun, exciting, energizing, meaningful come to your life? Do you actually feel that way? Or do words, if you're honest, like this, dull, boring, depressing, heavy? The truth is, probably 90% of you in this room, even if you're unaware of it, that's the way you approach and live this life as Christians. Now, there's a beauty in it. You want to know, like, as the human in me, I look at you and say, man, that's pretty cool. That even though you've accepted only this half part of the gospel, that you still follow him. That you think, even if it's miserable and depressing, and that's all it is, that you're still willing to follow him because you believe. There's a beauty in that, isn't there? That's faith. But how discouraging is it if that's all you believe it is? I want you to ask yourself something. If you were one in the room that says, yeah, it's dull, depressing, Todd, I don't really like it. Sunday's cool, but during the week I want to fake it and I want to do all these things because that's actually fun and Christianity isn't, and following Jesus, it's terrible, really. Right? Let me ask you this. Why do you think that? This is where you got to be honest with yourselves. Why do you actually think that? Why do words like dull, boring, heavy, depressing come to your mind? See, I had an epiphany this week. As I was prepping for this, I realized that I live my life that way. I didn't used to. That's kind of what hit me. I realized when I'm, actually, Henry, I'm always referencing you, and it's not just because you're here. Henry, at Grace College, see, I was alive. Because when I first went to Grace, man, I knew what it was. I was pumped to go there because I was like, this is what it's going to be like. Christians love each other. It's going to be awesome and fun. And well, we all know that they're still human, right? But the point is that I was on fire. I knew the joy because I remember what it was like to live without Christ. And now I've become just like everyone else with my Christianese earmuffs on, and I live my life like I'm in the doldrums. Look it up, big word. Like I'm depressed and mopey. Why? Because I've bought into some sanitized, clean version of what Christianity is. That all it is weight, responsibilities of, well, I got to go today and cook a meal. Ugh, this is so annoying. Some of you think that's okay. That's because you're forgetting who you're really serving. You're forgetting what you're really doing. I could sit here and say, oh, I got to go preach to people who half of them are not even paying attention and trying to look at their phones for the game. They don't think I see it, but I do. Yeah? Or, oh, that's so frustrating that no one will change their life. Or I can say, I get the pleasure of talking about God to my brothers and sisters. You have to change your mindset. You have to wake up. Listen to me. I'm serious. Are you tired of living that kind of Christian life? Is that what it really is? I'm challenging you. Don't even take my words. Go back and read your Bible, because if that's what it is, I'm going to say something. It's almost blasphemous. Forgive me, Esther. It's not. Esther's like, I just always look at her like, listen, it's not. If that's all it is, I don't know if it's real. Because I don't think a good God, I don't see that. Now, you've heard me preach, like it's tough, right? Circumstances in this world are tough, correct? Yeah, of course they are. Let me ask you something. Let me preface. Who here's played sports? How many times in the middle of a game is it actually miserable if you let yourself think about it? I'll raise mine. Fourth quarter, I've been on the field in football for a quarter and a half because our offense is terrible. I'm not talking about flag. I'm talking about real football. I got all this weight on. Okay, I'm sweaty. I'm about to puke. I'm dehydrated. I'm starting to cramp. There's a moment that if I just think about that moment, I'm like, this is the dumbest game in the world, and I hate it, and I don't know why I'm here. Until I remember at the end of the game that the battle was part of the fun. That the challenge of it was part of what made me feel alive. That walking through it with my brothers, with your team. See what I'm doing there? church team, get it? Anyway, that's part of the joy. We have to stop settling and actually trust God. What if I told you, what if we approached and you stopped settling? All right, I'm going to pick one. I know, I haven't done it in a while, so I'm going to go to sex. That's the good, that's the easy one, right? If you've noticed, I haven't used this example in a while, so I think I'm allowed to go back. Sex. God made it really, really fun, right? Those of you that have had it, I mean, I'm sorry if this, that's a fact, right? It's a good time, whatever. We all are drawn to it. Listen to me. But you have two options. You can, especially if you're a Christian in this room and you say, oh, I'm a Christian, but you know what God has told you. God has said, listen, this is a holy, beautiful thing, but it is only holy and beautiful in the context that I've given you between a man and a woman in marriage. And until that moment, I want you to wait. Well, Todd, that's ridiculous. God wouldn't really, why? Who are you looking for your satisfaction? You don't think God can get you through those moments when you're feeling real revved up? But you're not willing to wait a night. You're not willing to wait 30 minutes. You're not willing to wait to fight for 10 minutes. You give in for the moment because you settle for short-term happiness and then you wonder why your relationships are terrible. God told you this would happen. Because sin leads to what? Death. You don't escape it. See, those of you in the room, like, I'm not judging you because we've all made mistakes, but those of you in your room that live there and then you say, why is my relationship so terrible? And you point out all these things. Why don't you start with what God has told you and work your way from there? It's like me going every day and punching a steel door. Just stay with me. I'm crazy with my analogies. And I punch it as hard as I can. And I go through the rest of the day and I'm like, and I bang my hand on the table. Later in the day, and I'm like, oh man, stupid table. It always hurts my hand. And every single day, I run and punch the door without possibly thinking, maybe the issue is not the table I bumped into, but it's the door I'm intentionally punching. Some of you live like that. You don't escape it. Do you understand that? You don't escape it. You think that you do. Well, whenever we're cuddling afterwards, I really feel close to her, him. Mm-hmm. Our relationship's great. Mm-hmm. Cool. Ask psychologists. I just brought this up to some friends of mine. The statistics, I won't bore you now. Come and talk to me. These are non-Christian psychologists. Talk about the dangers of living together and doing things premaritally and what it does to relationships. Why? Because God is smart. I love when I hear the secular world catch up with God. He says it a long time ago and they're like, it turns out, guys, it's horrible to snort cocaine. You know, it doesn't say in the Bible, but you get the point, right? It turns out, guys, we shouldn't kill each other. God's like, yeah, I said that way back with Cain and Abel. Yeah, that's cool, you're catching up. So these psychologists are like, hey, it turns out, guys, I know it's crazy, you probably shouldn't live together before marriage because statistics say that even if you end up getting married to that person, the odds are you won't. That even if you do, your percentage of divorce goes up, skyrockets. It's crazy. There's a podcast, I'll give it to you. Todd, I don't believe you. I love it, challenge me. That's a lawyer in me. I love sending people evidence. And I'm sitting there feeling like God's like, duh. Now, the beauty is God loves you so much that it's not a matter of him going, like, he's way cooler than me, right? Like, I'm a punk and sarcastic. God is just love over and over. But sex is an easy one because it's something we all struggle with. I don't care who you are, okay? Lust, right? At one, or if you don't struggle now, you have in your life. But it can be anything. And the problem is that you settle. Well, he really wants to. He says he loves me. Yeah, he says that to you. But God has told you no. So who's your real God? Don't fool yourselves. I've always told you that, right? Here's the thing about Todd Bland. I'm a weird dude. I'll accept you. Just don't lie. Admit who you are. Don't lie to yourself. And I stand before you guilty of the same thing. So before any of you are saying that, I have done foolish things, okay? And guess what? In some ways, it's a blessing to you. My misery can be a blessing to you, okay? Because I'm proof of what it can do. Every time in my life, that I don't follow God, not only am I miserable because I'm not going with real life, there's death of some kind. And God in his grace protects us sometimes from the wild consequences, right? But listen to me. Just because you don't get consequences from like your pastor coming to you and saying something doesn't mean you don't have consequences. Just because nobody finds out does not mean you don't have consequences. So, am I saying that some of you are just, oh, I don't love God? No, man, it's hard to fight it off, right? Whatever it is. But listen, and it's not just sex, it's anything. I don't want to just talk about the don'ts. What about the do's, right? Sue's had to walk. I didn't say don't walk in the other room. I said you got to walk. So what about those times when it says love your neighbor as yourself and you don't feel like doing it? Oh, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. Oh, these people don't care. They don't care what I do for them. They're not thankful. Blah blah blah. You know, and that stuff's true. That stuff's true. But what are you gonna do? Because if you focus on that, that drains life from you. Does that make sense? Am I losing you? Jason, I'm gonna trust you. Yeah. He gives me the nod. I appreciate that. What if, you ready? I know this is gonna sound sarcastic. I don't mean it to. So just prepare yourself now. All right? Real question. What if your creator actually knows what's best for you and knows where you can really find life? You ever thought of that? I know it sounds sarcastic, but ask yourself that. What if your creator actually knows what's best for you? Not you. And I love comparing your children to you because those of you parents, I see you dealing with your kids when they're punks, right? And you're sitting here going, man, part of me wants to let you eat all them brownies and puke everywhere. But you don't. Why? Because you love them and know that even though they want that, they think they know better. Now let's bring it to you. You think you know better. Right now, some of you are like, I know what that way. God wouldn't do that because God just wants me to have fun all the time. It depends on what fun is. Life is too short to live in a constant state of fear. Here's the other side of it. A constant state of fear. Because you want to know the irony? There's kind of a weird equation here, and that's not a good word. I used to be smart. Anyway, there's kind of a strange dichotomy. There's kind of a strange thing here. I'm not even going to just thing. I'm so dumb. Anyway, here's what it is. You ready? The more we focus on the areas in our life we don't measure up, the more we put the focus on sin, oftentimes the more we sin. That's weird. Stay with me. The more you focus on sin, here's a crazy thing. Do you know you can make sin a god? I'm not talking to this. I'm talking like you can even make the pursuit of holiness a god. That's what the Pharisees did. They were doing the right things because that's all they were focused on. They were missing the point. God wants to have a relationship with you. Do you read the Bible? Well, no, that's boring, man. I don't like to read, dude. Yeah, some of you, that's you. Or some strange man. I hate reading. You know, the Bible wouldn't be bad if I didn't have to read it. Okay. And it would be sweet if I could get jacked without having to work out and hurt myself. But that's not life. Right? You guys have to, if God says, remember we said earlier, what if God knows what really brings life, what you really need? And he says, you need to spend time with me. Picking on Henry today, it's not intentional, but in a good way. Henry, I want you, son. I need you with me. You need me. We need to spend some time together. It's been a while. Let's talk. Let's sit together in silence. We don't even have to talk. Let's just sit here. Did you know that that's the God you serve? That that's what he wants? There's some beautiful verses in the Bible in Genesis. It says that they walked with him in the cool of the morning and the cool of the evening. Have you ever think about that? It didn't say that as they went, God told them all the ways in which they were wrong. By the way, Adam, you stepped on a bug earlier. You stink, right? Take a bath. No, right? It's just that, it's that relationship. What if God really knows what brings you life? What if you don't know everything? What if sometimes God says, I want you to walk in there, right? Seuss could have said to me, using the example, Todd, this is dumb. Why do I have to walk in there to get a full glass? Right? She could have focused on the why. Why? Or she can be quiet and just go enjoy the fruits of her labor. And, you know, God's going to bless you. He says that. God's going to take care of you. God's going to get you through. There are tough times. There are miserable times. It's a fact. We live in a sinful, broken world. But you can have real life, because let me tell you, I'll say this again, this is such a beautiful thing. John 10:10, I don't even need to look at it. I know this verse. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you life and give it to the full. Oh, full cup of Dr. Pepper, no, I'm going to keep going. It's going to overflow. There's a quote, it's one of my favorites too. I talk bad about Grace a lot, but this comes from Grace too. My guy who changed my life, all because he chose to talk to a grumpy, depressed kid about Jesus before I even went there. And he had a quote on the wall. He had these verse too. It's ironic, John 10:10. That was kind of our motto for the hall. But he also had this quote from a saint, you know, in Catholic, St. Irenaeus, I believe his name is. It says, and I've said it to you before, the glory of God is man fully alive. That's a beautiful thing. That the glory of God is you fully alive, living eternally, every day, walking it out. That, you know, even when I like to think sometimes on the flag football field, when I'm being silly and focused on something what I think is stupid, you don't think God's there. It's like, that's my boy. He gets a little too fired up sometimes, but I still love him. Right? Look at my daughter today. I see her in there cleaning when nobody's looking. Man, I love her so much. Look at them serving when they don't feel like it. Look at that. Look at my daughter right there. She's at home taking care of all those kids, cleaning the house. Her husband doesn't give her thanks, and she's doing it anyway. That's my girl. Man, I'm so proud of her. That's life. Just living and letting yourself enjoy it and following God, not because you know that leads to life. Now, what if the person with you, since we're in relationship, I feel led to do this, not my notes. What if you're in a relationship with a person who doesn't want to be fully alive? What if you're in a relationship with someone that, you know, if you're married, by the way, I'm talking to you, you made a covenant, you're stuck. Got it? Work it out. Work it out. I ain't kidding. Do not go out of here and say, Todd told me I can go out of the house tonight, because you are wrong, wrong, wrong. All right? That's a beautiful thing. But if you're not married, you're not married. And I don't say this to, I'm not talking, listen, I want to be clear, because some of you have talked to me privately and I love it. I'm not talking to a person, I promise you. I tell you, I don't have a problem doing that. But if you're in the room, whoever it is, it may not even be a romantic relationship. It could be a friendship. And they're saying, let's go this way. And God says, no, 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 no. I told you to go this way. Always remember to ask yourself, who is my God in this decision? All right? The glory of God is man fully, man or woman, fully alive. So my question for you in the room, if you know Jesus, right, she's going to play some music, and while she's doing that, I'm going to ask you right now, listen, are you fully alive? Are you? Are you fully alive? If you're not, and the crazy thing, as soon as I said it, an answer came to your mind. No or yes. Are you fully alive? If you're not, why? Is it because you've been chasing things that God has told you lead to death? Is it because you've been following another God? Or is it because you've just forgotten that your Father loves you and He's made you to have fun and you don't have to be depressed and miserable and serious all the time? Because that's what Christians do. They never smile. Ha ha ha. Right? That's not Christianity. He made a platypus. He's got a sense of humor. You ever seen those things? There are weird things. What kind of mammal lays eggs? It's like a beaver and a duck. Anyway, I'm a weird guy. See what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. Are you fully alive? Because that's what God wants for you. Remember this promise. Say it to yourself. God says, there are people out there that are thieves and robbers, and they're going to tell you that this is the way to life, but they have only come to steal from you and kill and destroy. But I have life for you, and I want to give it to you in the full. So I want you to take this time, this holy time, this holy place, a temple. That's what it is. It says you're each building blocks. When we come together, we make a temple. That's incredible. The Holy Spirit is here as much as it was in the temple of old. Did you know that? Think about that. The Holy Spirit of God Almighty is here. And while you do that, take some time. There are going to be people up here standing that are willing to pray with you. They're willing to pray if you feel God's calling you to repent. What does repent mean? It means coming to someone and saying, I haven't been doing the right thing, and I'm carrying this burden and this shame, and I'm done. I'm sorry. Will you pray with me so that God can free you and give you life? You're already free, right? You can't take away justification. We talked about that last week. If you missed it, oops. He wants you to be alive. Guys, please listen to me as your friend. This isn't your pastor. It breaks my heart, truthfully, to see some of you living, but not really living. That's not what it's supposed to be. That's not what it is to follow Jesus. That you have to turn to a bottle, or you have to turn to a drug, or you have to turn to an image on a computer to distract you because you are depressed and miserable and mopey, or whatever else it is you feel, that you don't have to go to those things, that you can be alive and free if you just trust Him. God, I've been waiting so long. It's been a week. Well, wait a week and a day. And when it gets to that, wait another day. He will come through. If you're in the room today and you know, you don't have a relationship with Jesus, then you don't even know what it is to be alive. You've never been alive. Did you know that? That's crazy to think of. Well, don't tell me I'm breathing. Yeah, breathing. That's a problem with humanity. We tend to think living has to do with breathing and blood. No, there's more to that. You know what I mean. Let today be the day that you come alive. God will take all that junk. He will take all your attempts to give yourself life, and He will give you true life. Eternally, you will be forgiven. You will be given an eternal new life. You'll be empowered by a Holy Spirit that will help you make the right decisions, that will change you, that He will meet you today where you are, not where you're going to be. He will meet you today because He sees who you really are, and He will help you get there. Will you be willing to say to Him, God, you're God, and I'm not, and I'm done trying to be God. I trust you. I put my faith in you. The Bible says that if we believe Jesus is who He said He was, that doesn't mean there aren't times we doubt. If you believe He is who He said He was, you confess it with your lips, that means say it, and believe it in your heart, you will be saved. God, you say this every week. You know why? Because some of you come every week and you don't respond. And God loves you so much that every week He makes this weird guy stand on stage and talk to you personally and say, hey, today is the day, will you come to me so I can give you life? Do not leave here the same as you came in, because listen, my friends, if you do, you are choosing not to live. That's not God. You are choosing it. Let's leave here alive in every sense of the word. Pray with me, please. God, thank you so much for, oh man, the life that you offer us, the life that you imbued us with, you made us with, Lord. We're all at different places. Some of us need to hear different things. Some of us are choosing things that we know cause death. And some of us just live under a weight that you haven't put there. And that's stopping us from enjoying life because we live in constant worry and fear about whether we measure up to you or what you want. But Lord, your love, that's not the way your love is. And I just pray that you would help us to be free. I love, Lord Jesus, what you've said to us in your word when you said, I have come to set the captives free. Lord, help us to just live free and to live with life and to just continue to follow you as this song said. I pray for everyone in this room, those that are hurting, those that are experiencing some hurt, some of it caused by the actions of others and maybe some of it caused by some of theirs. But Lord, your love and mercy and grace are still the same, that we're never outside of it, that you're always there waiting, that you forgive us. And I just pray that we would cling to that. And we thank you again, Lord, for all you do and all that you are. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.